The following broadcast of Sioux Valley Voice was recorded earlier. You will not be able to call in during the next hour. The next live recording of Sioux Valley Voice will be at 11 o'clock on Wednesday, October 22nd, with State Senate candidate Warren Keough. Good morning. You're listening to KTNA 88.9 FM Talkeetna, community radio for the Upper Susitna Valley. This is Sioux Valley Voice. I'm your host, Philip Manning. Joining me today is Shalice Jorgensen, Medical Director for the Sunshine Community Health Center, and John Knutson of HealthQuest Physical Therapy. We'll be joined in the second half hour by Renee Dillow of the Division of Public Health. We're going to be discussing what's going on at Sunshine Clinic and public health issues, as well as taking your calls. If you would like to join the conversation, that number to call is 733-1200. Shalice Jorgensen, John Knutson, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So let's get started. John, the reason we've got you here is there are newly offered physical therapy services at the clinic. So I guess just to get us started, what sort of things are you able to do at the Sunshine Clinic here?
Well, thank you. First of all, let me just say that we're very excited to be able to serve the Talkeetna community. And the kind of services that we're going to offer, at least initially, are primarily physical therapy. The company does quite a few different types or offers quite a few different types of therapy services.
Okay. And so what's the availability of that like as far as, you know, how many days a week, that sort of thing?
Right now we're scheduled for 3 days a week, and that's Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, 9 to 5.
Okay. So if someone were interested in it or thought they might need some physical therapy or had the physical therapy ordered by a physician, how would they go about getting that and getting in touch with y'all?
Well, there's a couple different ways to go. Physical therapy in the state of Alaska has to be carried. You have to have an order from a doctor or a physician, referring physician. So in order to make that happen, you usually have to go and see them, and they can write you a script, if you will, for that services. Another way to do it is to call our office, and we offer a free evaluation.
Okay.
So if you haven't been to a doctor and you think you might need therapy services, you can call, set up an evaluation. We'll take a look at you, and then we can kind of direct you to see a doctor and get that script taken care of.
Okay.
So I just want to clarify, any of the providers at the clinic can provide that service and that referral.
Okay. So people can see their regular primary care physician at
Correct.
The clinic. Good. And so how many therapists do you have that are going to be operating up here?
Well, right now there's two therapists.
Okay. And who are they?
Oh, great. Yeah, we have two very experienced therapists working out of the Sunshine Clinic. The first one, Patrick Minder, super experienced therapist, been in the business for probably 15, 16 years, holds a doctorate in physical therapy, and practices a lot of manual type technique.
Okay.
And the second therapist is Jenny, and her last name, I'm sorry about that, her last name is Oliver. I didn't have the sheet in front of me. She's actually just started with us not too long ago. And we're happy to have her, again, very experienced, originally actually a native of Alaska, worked in Anchorage for the last, I believe, 15 or 16 years, and has now relocated to Talkeetna to raise a family. And so we're very excited to have her with us.
So those two, they're based out of Sunshine then?
Yeah. Actually, Patrick travels up
to
the clinic for a couple days a week, and Jenny lives here in Talkeetna.
Okay.
So. And our hope is eventually to also have the service out of our Willow Clinic, and probably do that just to avoid a longer commute.
Okay, so how did this? How did, because it is obviously a new service? How did this come about?
Well, I will say historically, back in the early 2000-ish range, we actually worked with HealthQuest. They came up when we had a collaborative agreement with Valley Hospital when it was mm-hmm. before it was Matsu Regional to provide services to home health clients. And so we have a longstanding relationship with HealthQuest, which is awesome. And I think it's not a new goal for the clinic to have this service available mm-hmm. in our community. And I think the timing was just right. We had it in our minds and they had it in theirs, and it just seemed to work out really well to get it going. And I really appreciate them being here. I know they were just saying on the way down that they're already pretty much having full schedules, which is not a surprise to me at all.
Right. Well, that was my next question, which was how many do you have folks signing up? And it sounds like you do.
We do. We've had a great opening month of offering services, so we're incredibly pleased.
Okay. And you kind of alluded to it, but and you, John, you said that there are a lot of different services that HealthQuest provides. Shalice, you said that you're looking at maybe expanding to the Willow Clinic. What other potential for expansion is there in the future with this?
Well, I would definitely say that the clinic as a whole, right now we have three different locations, and we have one in Eagle River and Wasilla and now in Talkeetna, and we employ right around 16 or 17 therapists, whatever a recent count was, and they have a variety of backgrounds and experiences, and different passions about healing people, and as part of that, we have quite a repertoire, if you will, of services that we can offer: physical therapy and occupational therapy. In Wasilla and Eagle River, we have fairly large pediatric clinics. And so the idea is to soon transition some therapists up here, and maybe not have them at Talkeetna every day, but maybe once or twice a month, where we can offer some women's health related services and some things like that.
Okay.
Yeah, and you guys have an awesome program for people who are trying to lose weight too, which I think is great, and I think. Because they have a lot of therapists who do a broad range of services, it's a really great opportunity for us to not just bring basic PT, but bring some of those more specialty services, like he said, maybe on a more periodic basis. But I think it's super exciting. And I also, in early conversations, and I think, at some point we might be able to work around seeing how they might be able to work with home health services too. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to build on it and get them a real solid foundation for what they're providing in the buildings, and then we can keep talking. But I really appreciate their responsiveness to what the community's needs are.
Okay. So next question has to do with, the clinic. Obviously, you've got a lot of folks who are on sliding scale, things like that. Mm-hmm. Now, this year, with the first year of the Affordable Care Act, probably more folks with insurance. How does that work with the physical therapy as far as insurance or Medicaid or anything like that?
Well, we, as a practice, we accept Medicare, Medicaid, TRICARE, VA. We pretty much
private insurance.
Yeah, so we really don't have any limitations there.
Okay.
And then we are in the process of pulling together a memorandum of agreement, and in early conversations discussed, how might they handle folks who don't have an insurance source, and so we're trying to work that out. But they mm-hmm. certainly were committed to, providing options for those okay. people as well.
So that's still in progress for folks on the slide.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, we're trying to work that out.
Okay. Great. Well, so as we're, so you said this is the first month of operation now, and the schedule is starting to fill up. I mean, if folks do have a physician's order for physical therapy, I mean, do they need to book in advance at this point?
Well, there's still room in the schedule.
Okay.
And we'll do what we, what's necessary to accommodate, patients as they come. So
I think initially too, there are a lot of people who've been waiting for this service.
Right.
And so when you open the door, it's kind of like everybody rushes in. And so I think over time it'll balance out. And I think the amount of days that they're committing to now in Talkeetna's clinic, and then eventually thinking about Willow, I feel like it's probably adequate for our patient population.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Well, we're discussing the Sunshine Community Health Center today. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, you can do so by calling 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org. Just to talk a little bit more about the type of service provided and how it works, just because I'm personally unfamiliar, are we talking, as far as physical therapy, mostly post-trauma therapy, or is this for chronic ailments? What sort of things does it deal with?
Both, actually.
Okay.
Physical therapy and occupational therapy, it could be injury recovery and treatment. It could be, going before surgery or after surgery. A lot of times, surgeons and insurance companies want to make sure that, there's a way other than cutting somebody open, right,
mm-hmm.
Before they could be treated. And a lot of times physical therapy fills that void. And so that's certainly one avenue that people take. It could be any of those. We also, as a practice, have oncology rehabilitation,
mm-hmm.
and there's just a huge resource out there for people to use.
I think that PT can do so much, and a lot of people really do just think about it in regards to, injury or mm-hmm. or something hurts me, so maybe that would be helpful. But there are also a ton of things that PT can do for people who are I'm going to say quote unquote well. But I with some of my pediatric background, I can't tell you how many teenagers I send that have really poor posture, and just to help them, elongate some of the chest muscles, strengthen the back, which for the future, really helps their overall conditioning, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. There just are a ton of, I think, ways to utilize physical therapy services. And if somebody's just not sure whether or not physical therapy is appropriate for them, I think the fact that they are offering that 15-minute free evaluation is really invaluable.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just checking in with their provider, whoever that may be, and saying, I don't know, I have this thing. Is that appropriate?
Okay. As a care provider yourself, you're an advanced nurse practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
So 15 minutes, you think that's enough to get a baseline on whether or not PT would be appropriate for someone?
I think so, yeah. Our shortest appointments at the clinic with a provider is 20 minutes, I think, for a PT who does this all the time. They're pretty adept at saying, oh yeah, that's a yes or no.
Okay.
And they tend to run sometimes
a little bit longer
than
sure,
that, just
right.
generally speaking, because, I think it's important that patients get to know the treating therapist.
Sure.
And then they can kind of understand each other.
Okay.
And when they're talking about, aches and pains, and they can kind of work through those issues. So.
Right.
Yeah, and I think it's great with them being on site. If the patient is seeing a provider, in the clinic, there's that collaboration that can happen
sure.
right then and there. They can come down and talk to a provider and say, "Hey, I really feel like this. What do you think?" And but certainly also, they'll accept referrals from providers from any
wherever
clinic. Yeah.
Okay. So. Great. Well, I think that's most of the questions I had for physical as far as physical therapy. If somebody wanted to set up one of those 15-minute evaluations, would they do that through the clinic or would they contact HealthQuest?
Contact HealthQuest.
Okay.
And
how do we do that?
And that would be 907-376-6363.
Okay.
And that's our main switchboard. And then you can just talk to one of our front office staff and
okay.
they'll set it up.
Yeah.
Great.
And if they do call the clinic, we'll certainly provide that information sure. as well.
Sure.
So that's okay too.
Okay. Well, and I'll try to remember to put that number up on the website as well when I post this, this Sioux Valley Voice up a little bit later on. So John, thank you for answering quite a few questions about the physical therapy services, and hopefully folks will get in touch if they have more questions beyond what I asked.
Great. Thank you. And I would just mention that we have a website that outlines all of our services
okay.
as well. And that's healthquesttherapy.com. So.
Okay. And so I guess one more question that comes to mind then, with the breadth of services offered, if you've got someone who, say, is in more of a traditional physical therapy type situation, but then turns out they need some more specialized occupational therapy, something like that. How does that work as far as, you know, would there be the possibility of that, of another therapist coming up here periodically like you talked about, or for now does that involve going down Valley?
Well, you know, it'd be tough to say, you know, because we have so many therapists, we could certainly offer those services in Wasilla if they weren't available at Talkeetna. So we just have to see.
But, okay. Yeah. Thanks. So just one more thing that occurred to me. There are some other new things going on at the clinic, that Shalice, that you and I discussed. One of which is, you told me yesterday that there's a new provider coming.
There is, actually. She's been here for a couple of weeks now.
Okay.
But she probably will start seeing patients either tomorrow or early next week.
Okay.
Her name is Melissa Johnson, and she is a lovely physician assistant. She has come up from Montana, but she had ties in the community already, and her husband, Alex Johnson, used to live here. And so they have come back to Talkeetna together, and we're super thrilled to have her. She connected with me through a provider who used to work here, Judy Tinharmsel, and so some people might remember Judy, but she's been working with Judy for the last couple of years. So
okay.
We're really excited to have her aboard.
And that is that part of the additional HRSA money that was the big nationwide additional grant?
It's a small part of that.
Okay.
Most of her position is just replacing another provider, but a small part of that grant is there. There are still funds in that expansion for an additional 0.4 provider.
Okay.
So we're...
0.4 meaning?
2 days a week.
Okay. Okay. And so let's talk about that a little bit. So, uh-huh. You know, I did a news story about it last month when it happened, but there was quite a bit of money nationwide, I think, tune of about $300 million nationwide, mm-hmm. For community health centers, and Sunshine got some of that.
Yes, we did.
And we talked a little bit about what that money is going to be used to provide. Can you kind of give us the rundown?
Yes, and I hope I remember it all, because I was...
Well, I've got some notes too. So,
part of that was for the clinic to expand hours. And so actually, in the past, we have had Saturday openings in the Talkeetna clinic during summer only, mm-hmm. when we've been, you know, inundated with a lot of tourism and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So we are now going, we've continued Saturday hours in Talkeetna, and starting the first Saturday in December, we'll be opening Saturdays in Willow.
Okay.
So we'll be 6 days a week. And there were a few reasons for wanting to do that. One is just recognizing that some of our population has a traditional 9-to-5 kind of work week, and
sure.
that it can be difficult and financially even to miss work to come in, you know, in particular for wellness care. But so we wanted to be responsive to that. The other is acknowledging that, you know, we don't have after hours response providers being able to come in the building.
Mm-hmm.
We felt like expanding at least to a 6 day a week versus 5 would be helpful for people to just cover some more of that acuity.
Mm-hmm.
So part of it was to for that expansion in both sites.
Okay.
We also have Dr. Falconer, who is a ophthalmologist who used to come up to Talkeetna and do I'll call it the eye clinic, coming back. And
okay.
So his first clinic day will be October 27th, and we are trying to focus his first clinic day on the patients that we feel need that service the most, some of our brittle diabetics and that type of stuff who mm-hmm. haven't had eye exams in a while. But it is open for people to call and schedule as well. And then he is in the process of coming up with dates for November, December. Our goal was to have him be on site 3 to 4 days every quarter.
Okay.
So there's going to be plenty of availability for that over the course of the year. And again, people can certainly call in. This first clinic day, we know we'll fill up very quickly.
Sure.
So just be rest assured that there will be more to come.
Okay.
But we're really excited to have him back. We get a lot of phone calls about when is it going to happen.
Right.
So
the 27th.
The October 27th, that's our first day. And he'll be able to see about 15 patients that day.
Okay, so a lot of folks probably have to wait till November.
they may have to wait. But again, the plan is every quarter to have this ongoing, sure. And that's the plan for the future as well. So I think that'll be helpful.
You mentioned, when we talked on the phone, you mentioned a little bit of dental care at Willow.
Right. So thank you.
No problem.
We are looking at expanding some of our dental services into the Willow Clinic. It will be dental hygiene to start, and then we'll continue to look at the viability of actually having a dentist on site down there. But that is super exciting for us to be able to offer that. So our goal for that is by January 1st.
Okay. So being able to do like cleanings and that sort of thing.
Correct. Yeah. Cleaning. Okay.
Well, great. We're discussing the Sunshine Community Health Center, talking about some of the new and some exciting things going on out there. If you want to join the conversation, if you have any questions or comments, you can call 733-1200. We do still have John in the room if anybody has questions about physical therapy offerings. That number is 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org. So in addition to the expanded staffing and coverage and things like that, I've got some notes here on some things that are coming up as far as one-time or, non-periodic events. So the first one I've got here is Safe Talk. What can you tell me about Safe Talk?
Right. So we haven't set a date for Safe Talk yet, but we are trying to work with a group to come up. And it's basically education for peers and adults around how to recognize early signs that someone may be feeling suicidal.
Okay.
And what to do with that information, how to approach that person, and then what to, how to respond in terms of who you can call and for help and that kind of stuff. So we've been actually focusing a lot of effort in regards to some of our younger population. We did the cyber safety event, which was great. And we've been working with the schools and the PTAs to try and get a better sense of what their needs are here in Talkeetna, Willow, Trapper Creek, and at the high school. And are in the process of writing some other grants to kind of expand some services for our kids. So that, I think the work that's going on around that is great. I also recently got trained as a ACEs trainer, and ACEs is Adverse Childhood Events, and it's basically a recognition. There was a large study with about 20,000 people that happened several years back that just acknowledged the fact that when childhood trauma happens, domestic violence, assault, that kind of thing, those things actually change the chemistry and the makeup of our brain. And so later on in life, it leads to poorer health outcomes. And so there's a lot of focus nationwide and certainly within our state to try and acknowledge that, but also see what we can do in our communities to increase family resiliency and prevent those traumas from happening. So you'll hear a lot more coming up on that. We're going to be doing some trainings around the community, and then we're also going to be starting some parenting education classes, which I think I need it. We all need it. So it even helped me with my work environment. Right. So those are, I think, really exciting things. And those are, again, things that are happening on a borough-wide, statewide, national level. So we're excited to be part of those things. Something else that's new at the clinic that's been going on for a couple of months, but I wanted to make sure I mentioned it, is there's a program called Neighbor to Neighbor, and it's a community solution to homelessness. And so there is a representative who comes up to our communities every month and sometimes a couple times a month to help people, to help prevent people from being homeless.
Okay.
If someone's struggling getting into housing, if they're in a situation where they may be evicted, or someone may foreclose on their home, or if they can't pay their utilities or those types of things, then this is a program that can help them. And they also they do have eligibility guidelines, but they also have some flexibility, because you know, everyone has a different sort of set of circumstances.
They are just guidelines, not necessarily hard and fast rules.
Right. So we have the upcoming ones in Talkeetna at the Sunshine Clinic will be November 11th and December 9th, and they're there from 10 to 1. And then they're also at the Willow United Methodist Church October 22nd, November 5th, November 19th, December 3rd, and December 17th. They're a little bit busier in Willow.
Right.
And then they're in Trapper Creek, October 28th, November 25th, and December 23rd from 12 to 4. And it is at one of the churches in Trapper Creek, and I forget which one right off the top of my head. But
is that schedule online somewhere?
Yeah, and if they have, if anybody has questions about that program, they can call Adam at Valley Charities, and his phone number is 354-4660.
Okay. We'll try to include all the contact information once we put the show up online. So hopefully, folks, if you missed it, then we can get that number to you a little bit later on. I want to back up a little bit. One of the things you were talking about was the adverse childhood experiences training that you had, and you know, it's interesting. I read something just last week that had some really interesting infographics and things attached to it as far as correlating the number of these adverse childhood experiences with all sorts of things. I mean, you know, some of them we've known about for alcoholism, you know, the likelihood that they'll find themselves in an abusive relationship as an adult, but even things like smoking.
Yeah.
And I was amazed.
Yeah. So there's actually a way to score your, figure out what your ACEs score is. And the higher your number is in regards to what types of childhood trauma you've been exposed to, the higher your incidence of, like you said, lots of things, you know, that some of which also lead to poor outcomes in terms of health, but tobacco use, alcoholism, drug abuse, being in relationships that are, you know, have domestic violence, also just overall health outcomes, diabetes, those types of things, hypertension. So it's not just a necessarily behavioral types of things that happen, real things that we consider more physiologic medical
conditions. Yeah, you said it actually changes your brain chemistry.
It does. It changes the connections that happen in the brain. It changes the chemistry and how all of that relates to your overall health.
That's incredible. So if you had any questions about any of the new programs, any of the new services being offered at the clinic, you can call the clinic, and that's 2273?
That's correct.
Okay, 733-2273, and I'm sure they'll be happy to point you in the direction of whatever information you're seeking. We're getting close to the bottom of the hour here. If you would like to join in on the second half hour, the number to call is 733-1200. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some public health issues. We are coming up on flu season once again. And, of course, there have been some health issues in the news as well. So we're going to be addressing some of that when we're back with the second half hour of Sioux Valley Voice.
Thank you.
And we're back with the second half of Sioux Valley Voice. My guest, well, I still have with me Shalice Jorgensen from the Sunshine Community Health Center, John Knutson with HealthQuest, if you still have physical therapy questions. And we also have now on the line, joining us by phone, Renee Dillo, is it?
Yes.
Okay, with the Division of Public Health. So thank you for joining us, Renee.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk a little bit about some public health issues. But like I said, if you do have therapy questions out there listening, John is still in the studio. And that number is 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org. So just to get us started, you know, you think this time of year, people start thinking about cold and flu. And so I guess, Renee, what are we looking at potentially this year, or initially, as far as the flu?
Let's see. Shalice, why don't you start with that? You've been seeing some people with the flu already, I guess?
Yeah. Well, I was talking to Renee earlier. So
sure.
What I thought was really interesting this year is we actually never saw influenza go away. So
okay.
Actually, throughout the summer, we had lots of positive influenza A and B. And I would say in the last month, there's been a little bit of a lull in that, although we still have had a few positives. So it's definitely stayed in our community, is in our community. We do have vaccine available at the clinic for children and adults. And Renee can speak to what public health is going to offer in that regard as well. But we have flu mist, which is the nasal vaccine. And we also have the shot.
Mm-hmm. So, traditional needle in the arm.
And we can talk a little bit more about the efficacy of both of those different vaccines.
Sure.
And why some are preferred over others and that kind of stuff. But definitely we have the vaccine, and now is the time of year to be thinking about giving a call and come out and get that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and public health also has plenty of flu vaccine available. The vaccine that we have is effective against 4 strains of flu virus, 2A and 2B type, so it gives really good coverage. We also have the flu mist and the injectable vaccine available. And for your area up in Talkeetna, we have a public health nurse that comes up there on the last Tuesday of every month. She's there at the Northern Susitna Institute. And she's happy to bring flu vaccine if anybody gives her a call.
Okay, great. I'm getting a little bit of feedback there. I think that's the phone system. It's so not too bad. Maybe I can dial back the volume and it'll go away.
So Renee, where what they call the main number at? I think 352-6600, or what to get in touch with JD about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, if they call 352-6600. JD is happy to talk to anyone who is interested in a flu vaccine or any other vaccine, and she'll bring that up and have that available.
And probably at the clinic in the next week or two, we may actually have like a flu clinic day.
Okay.
Where we can just have people kind of come in and, you know, poke them and get them out quickly. So we've been down staff lately, so I didn't feel like I could stress our staff too much to do that.
Sure.
Yet, but we have had a lot of people coming in for
right.
The flu vaccine already. So
okay.
Mm-hmm. And I know JD is planning to do flu clinics at Trapper Creek and Willow at the libraries.
Okay.
Those aren't scheduled yet, but those will be coming up.
Okay, great. Awesome. Well, you know, and in years past, I know you both said that you've got lots of vaccine. I know in years past there have been shortages. And so, you know, in those years, they were saying, you know, if you're the very old, very young, and anybody who works around a lot of people, teachers, nurses, that sort of thing, should get vaccinated. In a year like this, where you do have abundant supply, who should consider getting a flu shot?
The flu shot is recommended for everyone over 6 months of age, pretty much. It is a really great preventative measure, especially for working people. It's a great way to minimize the risk of having to be off work,
right.
You know, that economic implications of that.
Sure. Okay. Now, to talk a little bit about the flu shot, I'll admit I don't generally get one. I also don't generally get the flu, knock on wood, but You know, I have some, I know some folks throughout the years who've told me, well, I got the flu shot and then I got the flu.
Right.
So is it possible to get the flu from the flu shot?
No. So what does happen though, and I think this is where people feel like they have the flu, is any vaccine you get, the what that vaccine is supposed to do in your body is put your immune system to work, to build up antibodies against the virus or disease. And so you may get the flu vaccine and have feel some body aches, feel tired, maybe even get a fever for a couple of days. That's your immune system working.
Okay.
It's not the flu.
Which would usually put you down for a week or two.
Right. So, and I don't know, Renee, if you have anything to add to that.
Well, the other thing that we like people to know is that it takes about 2 weeks for the flu vaccine to fully activate the immune system to fight the flu. Mm-hmm. And so if you've been exposed just before you got the vaccine or right after you get it within that two-week period, your body's not going to have that immunity.
Okay.
And so if you get sick with the flu, I mean the real flu, within a week after the vaccine didn't give it to you. You were exposed to it.
I see. And so, Shalise, that's why you were saying now's the time to be thinking about that.
Yeah.
I see.
Now would be a good time because we're not seeing a big spike yet.
Yet. I did notice that qualifier.
Mm-hmm.
So if folks are interested in getting a flu shot, what does that cost?
Well, it depends. It depends on what their payer source is and where they fall on our sliding fee. And so we get vaccine from the state, and then the vaccine doesn't cost anything for people if they qualify for state vaccine.
Okay. And that's got its own set of requirements.
It's got its own set of requirements. And then there is an administration fee that's separate. And so if people are on our slide, then it goes down to their nominal fee.
I see.
And again, if they have insurance,
right.
Some of those things may be different. So what I would encourage people to do is if they're concerned about the cost of vaccine is when they call to schedule that is talk to someone about what would the cost be so that I know what that is. And then public health, Renee, you can chime in on this, has the ability, like if someone feels like they cannot afford a flu vaccine through the clinic for whatever reason, there is also a program through public health that you can apply for that can discount or write off the cost of that. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And it is very easy process. We have a sliding scale based on income. If you don't have insurance, we never deny services based on ability to pay.
So just like the clinic, then.
Right.
Theirs may even be less expensive.
Right. Right.
So, not to say don't come to the clinic. But,
sure.
But, you know, public health works with us, I think, in a great way in that regard. So even with our discounts, if someone feels they can't afford it, that next step would really probably be to call public health.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. So we're, like I said, the second half hour, we're going to be talking about public health issues, but we can, any questions or comments about the clinic, you can give us a call 733-1200 or send us an email dj@ktna.org. Let's move on to, we've had a lot of health issues in the news lately, and one of them that's been going around in the lower 48 is enterovirus D68, and it's one that I don't know a lot about, but apparently it's not a new virus. It's not a new disease. It's just that we're seeing an uptick in it right now. So what exactly is EVD68? It's not in Alaska yet, but it could show up. So what does that look like and what does it do?
Renee, do you want to start with that or do you want me to?
Well, basically, I can give a start and you can fill in.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, it's a respiratory virus, an upper respiratory virus, and the symptoms are pretty nonspecific. It might even kind of look like a cold. You get the runny nose, respiratory symptoms, along with a mild fever and some body aches. From what I understand, one of the symptoms that kind of differentiates it is that there will be some trouble breathing and wheezing, maybe in kids that have not had that problem historically.
Okay.
And so that would really be the signal that this might be something more serious and head to the doctor.
So it might look kind of like asthma in a kid that doesn't have asthma.
I think so. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, I mean, so mild symptoms include fever, runny nose, sneezing, cough, body aches, muscle aches, which can also look
like
flu.
The flu, yeah.
And then more severe symptoms can include wheezing and difficulty breathing.
Okay.
And I think the take home for that is, you know, if your child or yourself, if you have a viral type illness and you are having difficulty breathing or wheezing, you need to seek immediate medical attention.
Okay.
So whether it turned out to be EVD68 or something else, those are not good things.
Breathing
is important.
I'm a fan.
Right.
So also on this, you know, I've heard that there have also been some cases, and they don't know if it's linked to EVD68, but they've had, you know, limb weakness in some of the kids that are being treated down there, and they're calling it, and I know this got a lot of people concerned, but they're calling it almost polio type symptoms, and polio is an enterovirus, as I understand it. So I mean, is there have you heard any news on where they're getting with that, trying to find that link?
Have you, Renee?
You know, I'm not. Mm-hmm. No, I haven't.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I haven't.
So, and like I said, last I heard, I think we got something from the Division of Epidemiology that said they hadn't seen a case yet in the state of Alaska, but that it could happen eventually because you do have...
Yeah, and the testing for that was taking quite a while, and... They, I think, just came out with a test that's more rapid. And
okay.
So we may pick up things that we haven't picked up before in that process, because actually doing viral testing is not comfortable for the patient, and then you have to send it off, and it takes weeks and weeks to get results back.
Really?
In the past. So,
okay.
So rapid testing is helpful. You know, even though right now there's not a specific treatment for that, we can certainly treat the symptoms. So we can, if a kid is having difficulty or if an adult is having difficulty breathing or wheezing, we can treat those things and hopefully help
supportive
prevent any
care
worse,
type things.
Types of.
Okay. And of course, the other health issue that's been all over the news for the past 2 weeks, and 3 weeks now, is Ebola. We do have a couple of cases down in Texas. Obviously, none in Alaska. And not necessarily likely to ever see one in Alaska, but all the same, you know, people are concerned. We do see a lot of people coming from countries all around the world, so the possibility does exist, however remote. So what is being done as far as protocol for Ebola and watching for Ebola? And, you know, the clinic is not an emergency facility. It's not classified that way, so...
No,
what is the clinic looking at as far as being on the lookout?
Well, I think first off, it's just educating all of our clinical staff, you know, and triage folks to what the common symptoms, you know, of Ebola are, and then questioning patients in regards to travel. You know, I think, like you said, the likelihood that we have an outbreak here is small, but we do have. A lot of people who travel outside and also influx of people coming from other countries into the state, just like anywhere. And luckily, we're out of our big tourist season, so we have less opportunity for that vector. But I would, you know, so fever, headache, diarrhea, vomiting, stomach pain, muscle pain, unexplained bleeding or bruising, you know, those are some of the common symptoms of Ebola. And so certainly anyone with those types of things that had been in an area where Ebola has been prevalent, we would, you know, we would have them seek a higher level of care for testing and treatment.
Okay. And Renee, as far as the Division of Public Health statewide, what is the state looking at as far as being on the lookout and educating providers?
Right. And right now we're brushing up on our personal protection, you know, just so that we're ready in case we need to be dealing with anything like this, that you know, that we have those policies in place and we're watching for it. I was interested to notice that they have just started trials on a vaccine for Ebola through a company in Canada. They started U.S. Trials, so that's ahead in the future.
So is that's different from the ZMapp or?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That is different. This is an actual vaccine that's had.
A specific vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I hadn't heard that today. I guess I need to go pull up my news feed when I get back upstairs. So that is definitely very interesting. So when you talk about personal protection, you know, that ranges from everything from non-latex gloves and a mask to the big, you know, moon man suits that you see.
So, and I think this has just made us all more aware of the transmission of viruses, and because when the healthcare providers, when we protect ourselves, then that helps keep us from spreading. Mm-hmm. And whether we're dealing with Ebola, mm-hmm. which of course we have a real low chance of spreading, or the flu, you know, the important thing is that we're washing our hands diligently, and not just for healthcare providers, but for everyone. You know, that we're just taking care not to spread our germs.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, with all the coverage, I've learned all sorts of things about Ebola that I never knew before. You know, and they say things like, you know, if it's on a surface, if you get blood or some other, you know, even saliva or sweat on a surface, that it actually survives outside the body for less time than hepatitis B, is what I was hearing last week. So it is significantly difficult to transmit just from even mm-hmm. being in the same vicinity as someone, from what I've heard. So mm-hmm. you really do have to have that close contact with someone who's already sick. Mm-hmm. So, well, I think that kind of covers our bases on Ebola. But there are some other health issues that we're seeing largely in the lower 48, but, you know, some of them could creep up here. And that's one of the things that comes to mind is right now in California, they're dealing with a pretty significant outbreak of pertussis, right. of whooping cough. Mm-hmm. And we've also, I mean, that's kind of going up everywhere mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. Are we seeing pertussis in Alaska more than we used to?
Definitely, yes, we are. Mm-hmm. I believe it was the numbers, the statistics are always a little bit behind because it takes time to gather them. In 2012, in the state, we had at least 450 cases of pertussis, and mm-hmm. we definitely see it in the valley. Are you seeing that, Shalise?
Yeah, we definitely are seeing pertussis, and in particular, you know, we're picking it up in the children, but I'm guessing that there's undiagnosed pertussis that we're seeing in adults too, that we may mm-hmm. We may not actually see them and they have pertussis.
We actually have had some adult cases out mm-hmm. here in the Matsu Valley.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I was vaccinated against pertussis, so...
How long ago?
oh, geez. I don't know.
The recommendation now, because of this outbreak that we're seeing in adults, we have a formulation with the tetanus and diphtheria vaccine that adults get every 10 years.
Right,
now we've added pertussis to that.
Yeah,
so I got that before college.
Used to be
college,
just a DT, uh-huh. and then now there's a DTP that has DTP that has pertussis in it as well.
Okay.
And I do encourage adults to get that vaccination if they haven't had it, and certainly anyone with children or who works around people who may have, you know, a compromised immune system or other chronic diseases, that it's an important thing to do.
So, so you're saying now it's your tetanus shot is also a whooping cough shot.
Yes, it adds pertussis. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. It probably has been about 10 years since I had
mine. All right. So the number at the clinic is 733-2273. If you'd like to call and make an appointment to get that done.
All right. we do have a caller on the line, and Carrie has a question about bacterial illness versus viral illness. So, Carrie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there, Philip. Thanks.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'd just like you guys to have a quick discussion about the difference from the point of view of a person who's got, who's not feeling well, who's thinking about coming into the clinic or whatever, or what to do about it, the difference between having a bacterial and a viral-based illness. And the other thing I'd like someone to talk about is the signs of, especially with throat infections, you know, when strep is indicated, when you think, okay, it's time to quit pumping the vitamin C and time to go to the doctor.
Right. So
Thanks. In
response to your first question, I think one of the difficult things, because with influenza in particular, early detection is important for treatment. So because Tamiflu recommendations are really only in that first 48 to 72 hour window. So even though I would say traditionally we kind of say, oh, you know, it's probably a viral illness, you might want to, you know, wait and see how you do with that. You know, if it has classic symptoms of influenza, actually coming in earlier to have testing and then, you know, being able to potentially be treated with Tamiflu, I think is important. Plus, oftentimes when we diagnose someone with influenza, meaning a positive rapid screening, we often look at prophylactic treatment for people who have been in close contact with them. So, you know, if you have the if you think you have the flu, but your, you know, child or spouse or someone else in the household who's close by you doesn't have the same symptoms yet, we can oftentimes give them medication to help prevent them from getting the flu. So those are kind of early onset things to think about. And then, you know, if you have more mild upper respiratory viral types of symptoms that maybe aren't the classic influenza types of things, you know, I usually say 10 days to 14 days if you still have symptoms. That's usually when you need to start looking at, do I have a secondary bacterial infection? Because, you know, when we get a cold, we get runny noses and things get all swollen up. And that's just a prime environment for the bacteria we normally have to overgrow and start to thrive. And that's when we end up with sinus infections and pneumonias and those types of things. So, so again, if you're just not sure, like, is this the flu? Is it something else? Then I would probably err on the side of caution and say make an appointment early. That way, if it is influenza, we can treat and we can also offer prophylaxis for other people who may have been exposed to the virus.
Okay. And then I don't know if Carrie's still on the line, but the second question had to do with strep.
Yeah.
And where that's indicated as opposed to, oh, I've just got a sore throat.
Yeah. So that's a tough one. So with children, I definitely, if they have a sore throat, I say bring them in because they almost, it seems like always it is. They have something like that going on, especially if they're in school. They just tend to pass that stuff around
indeed.
A lot. And again, the earlier we detect it, the sooner we can treat it, then the less other people that get exposed to that. They need to be on antibiotics for 24 hours to then not be considered contagious anymore. I would say the same would be true for like teachers or people who are in healthcare or have a lot of exposure to people. You know, early recognition would be good. You know, so classic signs of strep, you know, sore throat, sometimes fever. If you are able to have somebody look into the back of your throat, then if you have tonsils, sometimes they're big. You may see white kind of stuff that looks like it's attached to the tonsils or the back of the throat. It's pretty. So, you know, those are kind of the symptoms to watch for strep.
Yeah, I actually knew my mom's a nurse, so happened to know a lot of that as well. But you're saying with kids, if a sore throat is not something necessarily to let run its course.
I mean, the reason why we worry about strep is not actually their sore throat. It's because if strep is left untreated, it can go and harm other organ systems.
Right.
So that's why early detection again is important.
Okay. Something else that came when we were talking about pertussis. How do we know, you know, I had a cough for a better part of, you know, a month, but it wasn't that, you know, real kind of hacking, wheezing type. How do you know if you've gotten pertussis or if you just have, you know, some irritation, some bronchial irritation?
Right. So, Renee, you could probably speak to this too. So certainly chime in that regard, but I think for younger folks, the classic difference with pertussis is just excessive mucus production, and they cough to the point where they're vomiting. And obviously, the scary things about pertussis is for young children, they can also have episodes where they stop breathing, and obviously, that's not a good thing. And then prolonged cough. You know, anything beyond a couple weeks probably needs to be checked out.
Okay. Yeah, and I know I actually had a friend that had pertussis, and it took a little while before he realized it, but it was different than the usual coughing spells. The cough coughing spells would be really severe, and
right.
it was hard for him even to get his breath between coughs. So it's pretty marked, that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're down to about 5 minutes left in the show here, but we did have a question question left in the form of a message, and that is, if you had pertussis as a child in the 50s, can you get it again, or is it a lifetime immunity?
So, and Renee, if I'm not correct in this, please let me know, but you can get pertussis again.
Okay.
There are different strains of pertussis.
Okay, just like the flu then.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So yes, and just like with, public health and the CDC, we update vaccines, over time.
Sure.
And so, I don't remember what the vaccine was like in the 50s, but pertussis vaccine has changed over
okay.
time. So it probably would be a good idea to get to think about a booster.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just wanted to say one other thing real quick. I know we're starting to get close on time.
No, that's all right.
But for influenza and strep in particular, if people aren't aware, we do have rapid testing for that. So if you come into the clinic within about 5 or 10 minutes of us
swabbing.
Sticking something in the back of your throat or up your nose, we can tell you on the rapid test whether or not you're positive.
Wow, very rapid testing.
It is very rapid testing, and they're fairly accurate. I mean, there certainly are some false negatives that can happen, but it gives us a really good idea in a short period of time.
Right. So. I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, with just the few minutes I have left, we've talked about the flu, we've talked about pertussis. We're also seeing around the country some issues with, and in Alaska, the measles coming back, the mumps coming back. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are diseases that, in this country at least, were next to eradicated when I was a kid.
Right.
Why are we seeing them again?
Renee, were you at the presentation that happened at that last vaccine coalition?
Oh, I was not.
Yeah, it was fascinating, really. But why are we seeing them come back? People aren't getting immunized.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In order for a community to maintain immunization, the rates need to be up around 90% to protect the people who are not immunized as well as those immunized.
Right.
And we're not there.
Right, because vaccines aren't 100% effective necessarily.
Right.
They're
right.
not 100% effective.
So you need to make sure that more people are vaccinated so that those people who could still get it despite being vaccinated are less likely to be exposed. Is that the logic there with the 90%?
Mm-hmm. And then there's some people who, for medical reasons, are not able to be
sure.
vaccinated. Mm-hmm. There's, the young babies that are not old enough for their immune systems to respond to the vaccine. And so that 90% gives the whole community good protection. So you might get through the measles just fine, but your neighbor might end up severely ill or even find that they have not cannot recover from it.
Mm.
So we can protect everyone.
Yeah. Well, when I was living abroad a few years back, there was a measles outbreak in the area that I was living in. And, obviously I wasn't terribly concerned because I'd had both rounds of MMR, but there were some teachers at the school there who got very, very sick.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was hospitalized for a couple of weeks, as I recall.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
right.
And so as far as vaccination schedules, things like that, if parents have questions, can they call the clinic?
Yeah, I would say, so certainly we have all those vaccines available at the clinic. The other thing I would just say quickly, we didn't touch on RSV, but we do have rapid testing for RSV as well at the clinic now.
And RSV is?
Respiratory syncytial virus. So,
okay.
And it causes wheezing and respiratory distress issues, and especially in children, they don't do well with that. But yes, if you have any questions about vaccines, if you're sitting on the fence about whether or not to vaccinate your children, certainly for myself, I've spent some focused time in pediatrics. I'm very used
sure.
to having those conversations. I also You know, I definitely like to listen to parents and try to come at things from their standpoint and their concerns.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And anyone can call Public Health at 352-6600, and we're always happy to talk to people.
All right, great.
Thanks, Renee.
Well, thank you, Renee. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Shalice. Thank you, John. That's all the time we have for today. My guests have been Shalice Jorgensen, John Knutson, and Renee Dillo. If you missed part of the show or would like to listen again, Sioux Valley Voice will rebroadcast tonight at 7 o'clock, or you can listen online anytime at ktna.org. Next week, Sioux Valley Voice will be aired at 11 a.m. instead of 10, so that we can bring you a special edition of Talk of Alaska with gubernatorial candidate Bill Walker. My guest next week will be Warren Keough, candidate for State Senate. I'm Philip Manning. Thanks for listening.